Our gospel lesson is taken from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. While Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard, and she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger, "Why was the ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii, and the money given to the poor." And they scolded her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me, for you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her." Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts this day be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, my grandma Treba was the oldest of 12. The first four children born in that family were all girls, so I was lucky enough to grow up with the blessing of some of those old-timey aunties, you know. And my favorite aunt was Aunt Geraldine. Aunt Geraldine. When I visited Aunt Geraldine, the candy jars were full, there was pie on the table, and there was plenty of good stuff going on in the house. Aunt Geraldine doesn't come to mind today, though, because she was a good cook. Aunt Geraldine was a wearer of white shoulders. Does that ring a bell with anyone? It's perfume. In the course of a day, after spending a day with Aunt Geraldine, she picked me up and held me and hugged me, and she played with me and she took care of me, you know, when I was a little boy. And on the way home, I was hungry and I was well fed. But you know what else? I smelled like Aunt Geraldine. I'm reminded of her today. I'm reminded of her today when I read of the unnamed woman who interrupts a meal to break open a flask of costly perfume over Christ's head. Imagine that. Those who watched the unnamed woman pour this perfume on his head, they scold her and they say that she is wasteful. They think that they can take the measurement of her. They calculate the gift that she has given, and they say that she squandered a full year's of income, they say. It's a meaningless gesture, they say. But what she gives in the moment is not wasteful. It's extravagant. She gives everything she has in that moment, and she would have given more if she had more to give. She remains nameless, the woman in the story we read today, but she helps us to see something that we know well in our experience of Nicole. Nicole was extravagant with herself, wholehearted, generous beyond measure, even beyond the measurement we name as cancer. After Nicole received her diagnosis, she didn't begin to measure her faith. She didn't hold back with herself or her trust. She didn't withdraw into her sorrow. No. Nicole continued to extravagantly believe and to share herself with us without measure. Without measure. Like the nameless woman who interrupts and pours perfume extravagantly on Christ, Nicole shared herself and her faith with us. In her life and in her death, she anointed us for this moment. She's present with us this moment, like a perfume that's rubbed into our clothes. There's something more. The objections of those who criticize and scold the nameless woman sound to my ear like a bunch of little boys on the playground, both attracted by and embarrassed by what they see that's uncomfortable and touches them in a sort of a delightful way that they don't understand. It clings to them and it works in them. It gets next to them. They can't help but take it next to them. They can't help but remember her. The moment she pours perfume on Christ's head, this is a moment of naked beauty. Pretense is stripped away. A moment of pure intimacy. Words are merely clothing for the silence that happens in a moment like this. The objections of people who scold her are really about their own sense of vulnerability, their own love and need. We are perhaps more qualified than people at any other time to see beauty in the moment then, to see the beauty in this moment now, this very moment. There is no pretending. There is no staging here. There is no performance. This is a real moment that touches deeper truths about intimacy and our own vulnerability and love and what beauty means. This is a moment of life and death. As perfume poured out pervades into the room and settles into our clothing and rubs off on us today, beauty is here for us today. Nicole was a beautiful person. We all know she had a beautiful smile and a lovely personality and a bright mind. We know that she was a beautiful wife and devoted mother and friend. But she was also beautiful in the same way the unnamed woman is in our story today. The first time I met Nicole was in October of last year when I first came to the Quad Cities. We as a church were in the middle of what we call our annual stewardship drive, which we also dearly love. So we go looking to find someone, to conscript someone, really, to stand up in front of us and talk about their faith. Nicole was one of those people. So soon after I came here, I found myself sitting here in front of a congregation unfamiliar to me, not knowing Nicole from Eve, I guess. As she stood in front of the congregation and told her story of faith. I didn't know it then, but I know it now. She stood in front of a congregation who had known her as a little girl. A congregation that confirmed her as a young lady, that had celebrated her marriage to Josh, that had witnessed the baptism of Mackenzie and Cameron. She stood in front of her husband and children and father, who had stood many times in front of this congregation. She stood in front of the kids she taught in our Sunday school. She stood in front of all of us that she loved, knowing that we would be brokenhearted today, knowing that we would be here today. And she said, "Last year, I was diagnosed with terminal esophageal cancer, and my faith has never been stronger." That is so beautiful, isn't it? That's beauty. That's beauty. This is anointing that we're talking about here. Nicole trusted God in life and death. and she shared the naked moment with us. She prepared us for her burial through extravagantly and beautifully sharing herself with us. Christ says, as long as the gospel is proclaimed, she will be remembered. Now, there's an understatement. Indeed, she will be remembered. How can she be forgotten? She is remembered in Nicole's extravagance and the beauty we experienced together with her. She is remembered in the extravagant number of people who showed up for visitation and waited in line because they wanted to touch, they wanted to hold, they wanted to say that something beautiful happened, that they experienced something extravagant. She is in the perfume of tears shed, in the stories that work their way next to our skin and that lift us up and hold us. We're the perfume now. We're the anointing now. We are as a people. Nicole is remembered in the spirit, in the essence, we call it, the perfume of God, the Holy Spirit, that's worked its way into our hearts. And we know that this spirit is in us and with us, and that it will be with Josh, McKenzie, and Cam, with Bob, Lauren, Courtney, with the Miller clan, with the Smith clan, and with all of us who know to be her loving family, all of us. And it will be with us and through us when we ourselves share extravagantly with others. When we don't measure when no measurement is needed. When we make room for the lovely beauty of life lived together and death celebrated together. Amen.